So I spoke about the penetrative surrender and the third exhalation beneath the vital force. You need to feel these things. The thing about this teaching is that I'm not just labeling things, I'm transmitting the meaning behind words on the level of consciousness, on the level of the soul, and on the level of energy. In order to understand what I'm talking about, you need to be synchronized. You need to be in tune. So the third exhalation is basically you are exhaling into the absolute. But the exhalation has to be one with pure attention, otherwise it will not work. But the interesting thing here is as you exhale into the absolute, you are at the same time inhaling on the level of your soul. That oxygen, metaphorically speaking, of the absolute. I call the third exhalation the unissuing inhalation in the absolute, the breath of freedom. It's kind of like imagine you are underwater and you lack oxygen and you're getting suffocated. What if you relax? Suddenly you can breathe under the water. So the third exhalation is a breath of freedom. Why? Because you stop being suffocated. Pure mere being stops being suffocated. As it transcends that confinement that stuckness in the vital force. It really feels like this, that you breathe, not just exhale, you can actually inhale in the absolute on the level of the soul. It is true and it is real, and these are not just metaphors. Sa suddenly you can breathe. The air of the Absolute. But the main purpose of penetrative surrender, where you extend pure attention from pure mere being with the support of the third exhalation, is to pass through the portal into the Absolute. You need to gain a foothold in the Absolute. So, as you move to the other side, the pure attention extends itself from pure me of being, it stops. And it becomes bare attention. Now, we have there's a similar principle as reaching pure consciousness, that is an immediate transference of identity from pure me of being into that new bare attention, which is already on the other side. Which means that pure me of being now is on the other side. Very subtle, but not necessarily very complicated. Fundamentally simple. So pure mere being is on the other side, beneath the vital force. But its position is still not stable. So you can easily come out of it. How to make it stable? By continuing that movement of penetrative surrender, which still is the activity of pure attention. But in order to support that flow of pure attention into the Absolute from pure mere being who is already on the other side, we need to utilize the tool of the fourth exhalation. Which is already happening completely inside the Absolute I Am, that Absolute Subjectivity. In a way, it's similar to that continuous surrender from pure me of consciousness in pure consciousness, where pure me is already in the universal I am, it is holding it in place. It's giving it a deeper, stronger anchor in the beyond. So that is the role of the fourth exhalation. So the second exhalation, you have come to the threshold of the absolute. Third exhalation, you are penetrating into the absolute, moving into the absolute. The fourth exhalation refers actually to two things. One is it is holding you firmly, securely in the absolute, so that the vital force, which is still very close to you, will not pull you back. The second role of that fourth exhalation, it allows you to enter deeper the ocean of the absolute. You continue to dive into that ocean. I spoke before about the further levels of deepening that engage the fifth exhalation, the sixth exhalation, but let's not make it too complicated. Let's make it relatively simple. You are already in the absolute, and through the fourth exhalation, you are maintaining securely your position in the absolute, and you are also deepening your realization of the absolute, and you are also in a correct relationship with the absolute, which is the relationship of surrender. Surrender is not just done for the sake of reaching a particular state, it is also a natural state, something naturally occurring, reflecting the natural relationship between our individuality and our non-individual subjectivity. That fourth exhalation is really deep. It's so deep. And I trust that many of you can sense the meaning behind this. Let's face it, this teaching is not for general public. It is for souls which have higher capacity. Not because we don't want to make this teaching available. I tried so many times to all people, but they simply, it's too much for them, too much ahead of them. So those students who follow this teaching, they're like a family of mature souls. Of course, many of you experience different problems on the spiritual path, but that is just the nature of spiritual evolution. There's nothing wrong with that. But the fact is that to understand this teaching, to follow this teaching, you need to have capacity, spiritual capacity. Not just the capacity to understand the complexity of this teaching, but the capacity to evolve, to move into your future. And at the very base of that capacity is sincerity. Which is so important, so crucial. So we have the fourth exhalation. Well, pure mere being is already on the other side, but it continues to exhale. And by the way, it continues to inhale. And here is an interesting situation, because that dichotomy between inhalation and exhalation is no longer relevant. They become one. Actually, exhalation is inhalation. No, because I don't want to talk about the absolute state of this retreat. There are different levels of realization of the absolute, and there are different, how to say, different ways it manifests in our existence, or the way it is translated. I already spoke about the experience of pure rest. The initial experience of pure rest is fluctuating. You cannot maintain it. That's what I call that suffocation of pure mere being. It cannot stay in that place of pure rest. But then when you move to the other side, the experience of pure rest becomes natural and permanent. So pure rest is one of the aspects of the realization of the absolute state. But we refer to it as, how to say, a shallow translation, or the shallow realization. Because what does it mean that you are in a state of pure rest? Meaning, there are no fluctuations. You are just in that state of immaculate rest, that absolute comfort. But the problem here is that you still feel yourself as being the one who is resting in the absolute. Meaning you are still translating the experience from the standpoint of your individuality, or lower individuality, that is being somehow relieved from its limitations, so now it can rest in a pure way. So it's all about you. I am feeling that pure rest. But if you surrender deeper, you don't care about pure rest. It's a thing of the past. Remember, all the things are interconnected. They're just different angles of looking at the same realization. But it also indicates the level of depth of our realization. Or they indicate different levels of depth of our realization. So the next level is a state of no will. So we move from pure rest to the state of no will. Which, by the way, relates directly to that experience of great death. Because what you are dying to is the will of the vital force, which is like the primary will at the bottom of our existence. There's a will of the vital force, there's emotional will, there's a mental will. There are all these layers how this will develops. But here you have transcended the will of the vital force, which indeed feels like you have died before you integrate it. Initially it feels like this. You are so much absorbed in the absolute. There's no will. And by the way, that no will on the level of the vital force affects all the other layers of will. Like including the will of on the level of your human existence. You're just gone. You don't care. It's like that absolute sucks you so deeply away from manifestation that you are completely not here. You experience here, you experience the world as if from far distance. Like a memory of something that you have once been, or what you have once experienced, but it's not no longer part of yourself. Then we have the state of absence. So, pure rest, no will, state of absence. What does it mean, state of absence? When you are in the absolute state, or any state of transcendence, that higher subjectivity, in this case absolute subjectivity, comes to be at the forefront, the experience of it. And it is continuously dissolving you. So it is dissolving you, but yet you are still re-emerging in your individuality. But the speed of dissolution is faster than the speed of recreation of your individuality. Can you relate to that? Can you imagine that? So first you are dissolved, and then you become conscious of yourself. As if in delay. And I believe that there's a time factor involved here. Very fast you are dissolved. Then you come into existence. That time lap is very short, very small, so you may not register it consciously, but this is what is happening. First you are dissolved, then you become your individual self in delay. And then there is something that we call Diamond Mountain. Maybe I forgot some steps, but it's all right. It's good that we simplify things. Diamond Mountain means two things. First, that you being in the absolute state, you are fully embodying with great strength and lucidity your individual subjectivity. And the second thing is that you begin to experience the absolute subjectivity of the absolute I am as your own. And then it can be said that you have mastered the realization of the Absolute. It's no longer outside of you. It's no longer a place in which you reach freedom from your suffering. It's no longer something that is dissolving you. It is the new you, which is composed of these two layers, your individuality and your absolute subjectivity. Now, before I end this talk, because I spoke about the fact that realization of the Absolute can completely disconnect you from this world and your human consciousness, there is a process of integration. What they call in Zen, the withered tree becomes, because it is withered, like has died. becomes green again. The problem with these comparisons and metaphors, similarities, these parallels, is that they do not necessarily refer to the same thing. They can refer to many other things, but still it is a good parallel, the withered tree becomes green again. So the vital force has to learn, because without the vital force we cannot exist, obviously, has to learn how to live from that place of absence. On the level of energy, on the level of our physical body, and on the level of our relative consciousness, human consciousness. So we need to re-emerge from the absolute, of course, without losing it, in order to experience life fully in its totality. And often it happens naturally, but sometimes we need to help it. And I know now I don't have time to speak how to help it, but my main point is that eventually that dichotomy, that duality between the absolute and our individuality and our relative human consciousness and our physical body and our perception of the world is forgotten. Everything is experienced as one. In fact, you begin to experience the outer world as the absolute. Not just his extension. The outer world is the absolute. I could say it is a dimension of the absolute, which is true. But when you stop discriminating, when you live totally, everything is just the absolute. Everything is contained in him. And something that I will address later on, when your consciousness is surrendered into the absolute, obviously your consciousness, all the centers in your consciousness are contained in him. And knowing that out call a higher, more wholesome, more holistic, more complete realization of the absolute I am.